When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Penn Sunday School, and to our listening ears, all angels sing and round us sings the music of the sky.
Here we go.
Brothers, sisters, siblings, welcome to Penn Sunday School, brought to you by Masterclass. I'm Matt Donnelly, and today we're broadcasting from Las Vegas. And this week, Penn actually has two journal entries he wants to discuss, and I want to find out whether he's seen a movie that I just saw. Yeah, how's that for a tease? I bet you're just salivating at the glands now. Here he is, preaching the love, Penn Jillette.
Masterclass! Masterclass.com. We're going to talk about it more. It's lifelong learning.
Yes.
You want to do that. So go. You can get 15% off at masterclass.com/Penn. We'll talk about more later. I'll tell you, Matt Donnelly,
yeah,
you are here so seldom now that I think you're just a special guest. I no longer think you're a co-host. Well, I'm done with that.
I felt underappreciated, so I thought I'd teach you a lesson.
Mm.
And
lesson has been well learned. I miss you, Matt Donner.
I miss being here, too. I don't like when my shows prevent me from being here.
You're working too much. You're a working magician, motherfucker.
It is. It's happening. Yeah, I just finished up two shows in New York. I did a show at the People's Improv Theater, mm-hmm. which is a real trip, because that's where I taught forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the pit actually moved to a whole different location, and that location closed over the pandemic, and then they moved back to the space that I taught in. So it was really weird, because I thought that space was gone. So it was really weird to be back in the place where I taught for years doing magic. And it was one of those things where if I could send a snapshot of me in a tuxedo doing magic at that same theater to me 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever it was, but no, 20 years ago? I don't know, 20 years ago? I would be like, what is happening in this? I must be doing a really crazy sketch. I taught many students over the years, and some of them came out to check out the show. And the looks on their face after I'd done a full hour magic show was like, what has happened to you?
Were they unhappy?
No, they were very happy. They just were like, all of a sudden, you know, I was an expert to them in one field, and they had so many questions about another field.
You are Catholic in your tastes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You are a polymath.
Mm-hmm.
A polymath who knows both improvisation,
yeah,
and magic, and a little bit about weaving.
Sorry, casually, but how'd you do that one? You know, and I was like, oh, you think because. I'm just going to tell you how I do my whole act.
Because we can now improvise how, yeah, I do my act.
So it was really strange to do the whole, like, oh, I can't tell you how everything's done kind of thing, conversation to have with people.
Have any of your students had huge success?
Oh, I've had a lot of students go on to do very well. But, you know, I'm one of many teachers they've had, so I can't, like, claim solo success.
You can claim.
Oh, that's
not
true.
Accurately.
No. But yeah, no, I've taught many people that I've gone to do bigger and better things for sure.
Well, I told you, we went to work with the Muppets.
Yeah.
They were not interested in anything in our career except we worked with you. Because you taught all the Muppets, right?
I did. I taught a lot of people who work with the Muppets, things like that. Yeah. The one I joke about the most is because I was a substitute coach for her improv team. So I worked with her exactly once. So I take full credit for Kate McKinnon. since I taught her one time in my life, I like to think that I gave full credit or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah. No, I've worked with a lot of people who've gone on to do stuff in sitcoms and movies and things like that.
Yeah. And the Muppets.
Yeah.
The Muppets all love you.
At one point in
and
New
they're
York.
Cuddly.
Yeah. At one point, I taught level 3 at the People's Improv Theater, and it was so popular that it overlapped. I was starting a new class. Classes were 8 weeks long, but I was starting them every 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And word had gotten out that I was leaving and suddenly had to teach even more. So there were 3 improv theaters at the time, UCB, Magnet, and Pitt. And word had gotten out that, like, no matter where you're at, you have to take my class. And mm-hmm. so that was like a very popular time. And I got to work with a lot of really talented people at that time.
Who'd you blow?
The guy who wrote Lion King. It was a really popular show at the time, and I wanted to get tickets. But no, so it was a trip to be back there and do a show in my old haunt. That was a fun part. And then I did David Corsero's.
You did Good Business?
I did Good Business. Yeah. Very.
So they'll have you back.
They'll have me back for sure. Yeah.
And how many people?
About 70 people showed up for that show in New York. And then I taught an improv workshop as well, which we might get into during our masterclass ad.
Oh, good.
And then did David Corsero has a magic lineup show over at City Winery, big new fancy joint.
Yeah, everybody's talking. Maybe my wife mentioned it once. That's what I mean by everybody's talking about it.
So people came in for a fancy dinner and saw four magicians, and I was one of them. And I was slated to go on last, which I found embarrassing, as, of course, I'm the most inexperienced magician of the lineup. And then one of the people I was on after, the person right before me, was Boris Wilde, who's a big, notorious magician from France.
Yeah.
And he fooled you guys, unfool us, but with something that's so hilarious now. He and I were relating, because I did a show in New York that was very popular called the Neutrino Video Projects. And what we did was we made an instant movie happen in the theater.
Right.
And when we did it, people thought what we were doing was impossible. That we were running out of the theater and running tapes back in, building tapes so that you watched a continuously running movie while all of us were outside of the building improvising at local businesses and streets and things like that. And then the iPhone and everything caught up. And then people thought what we were doing was, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they didn't understand that it was still equally impossible to do, but technology made it so nothing. Well, Boris fooled you on Fool Us by synthesizing your voice.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
but that wasn't the trick that fooled it.
No. He did a card trick. No. Or whatever. But
that's where I had that weird conversation with the guy that worked on synthesizing my voice.
Yeah.
Remember that conversation?
Adam Shire.
Yeah, Adam Shire.
Yeah.
Remember that conversation with Adam Shire?
Yes.
When Adam Shire said afterwards, I'm not going to let anybody have this file, but like you can have it if you want to make it do anything. And I said, I could say anything I want already.
I already have my own voice.
Yeah, I have that voice. I don't understand why. Thank you.
But now that would be just a commonplace thing that would happen.
Deep fake.
Deep fakes are pretty easy, especially your voice. Your voice is out there a lot.
Yeah. You could train AI on my voice easily.
Very easily. Because between the podcast, but then also you've done most of your own books on tape. Have you done all your books?
Yeah.
So you've done all your books. That's a lot.
And other people's.
Yeah.
And my voice has changed over the years.
Right.
But it doesn't change much day to day.
Right. But yeah.
I don't have different voices I do. I mean, even Gilbert has different voices he does, but I don't.
Yeah.
I'm a man of one voice.
Yeah. Two.
Two. What's the other one?
The other guy voice.
Oh, yeah. You always have to have another guy voice.
Everybody has another guy voice.
I used to love doing that to my dad. And he'd say, I went to the gas station. The guy went, well, yeah, you got to get something done with your plugs here. And then I went to the bakery, you know, and I was trying to buy a loaf of bread. He goes, we haven't got that kind of bread. I would say, it was the same guy? We're at the gas station and at the bakery is the same guy? Because you have one other guy voice. Most people only have one other guy voice. So if they tell a story that has two other people in it, they're fucked.
I have two friends who they don't even know each other, but they're two friends of mine whose other guy voice is always a kind of aggro skeptic. Every single person is like, well, maybe. You're like, really? Every person you interact with? It's just
what's really confusing to me is that Jonesy, our piano player, uses his other guy voice for Trump and for Trump's lawyer. And so you have no idea what he's talking about. We should celebrate Lawrence O'Donnell. Do you know about this?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about it. Yeah.
The New York Times reported,
yes,
that as Donald Trump left the courtroom, he did a weird sneer at MSNBC host Lawrence O'Donnell Jr.
Right.
I sent that to him.
Yeah.
And Lawrence O'Donnell wrote back, LOD wrote back, my greatest achievement. And he said that the courtroom sketch artist.
Yeah.
The sketch artist.
Yeah.
Who's been in a lot of fucking courtrooms.
Yeah.
Right? she said she had never seen anyone go full Joker in a courtroom. She said he gave you a Joker face. And she said it was the only time in her career or anyone else's career she could think of where, as part of their job as sketch artist, they sketched a spectator. And so she did a courtroom sketch of Trump looking like an insane Heath Ledger.
Yes.
Grimacing at Lawrence O'Donnell, who was smiling his head off. And you can imagine how LOD is going to get that framed.
Oh, for
and that is
sure.
his finest, finest trophy.
That has got to be bizarre.
Also, I'll add to this something that he wouldn't say himself, but the sketch artist made him look really young. He looks like a 45-year-old.
Shoot, I got to get down to that courthouse.
Yeah. Although, she's not as flattering to Trump.
I heard an interview of her yesterday.
Oh, really? What'd she have to say?
She had sketched Trump at another trial when he was a young man. Mm-hmm. And talked about that a lot.
What'd
she
say? So
she was attracted to him then.
Oh, Jesus.
And
ooh.
Not so much now. That was my takeaway anyway.
Yeah, that's the, what was the SNL? That was the joke, was that like, we have a notorious playboy from New York taking away reproductive rights from everybody in the country. And we have a Catholic Democrat trying to restore abortion rights for people.
Oh, that's a good
like,
point.
Like it's a strange, we live in strange times.
The thing I think you would have liked about her was there was a long discussion about trying to capture a single moment in time over the course of 45 mm-hmm. minutes to an hour.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, they have to choose that
but
moment.
But there's also interesting that I was talking to my friend Elliot, who's an artist, a painter.
Yeah.
Among other things. He's a polymath like you. And Elliot was saying the courtroom sketches really show you that sketches are better than photographs.
Oh, yeah.
You just feel so much out of them.
It's like the photograph can't capture multiple moments in time. Mm-hmm. So you don't see the reaction at the same time that you see the impetus.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really good point. And that we do. Like when hearing us about a trial, we do like to see the sketch more than we're hoping for a photograph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have for now, for almost a month, I have been being careful of every single thing I eat, every single mouthful, mm-hmm. like I used to be. And I've also been exercising until I cry.
Okay.
And they've made huge changes. Remember, I thought I had all these balance issues that were my ears?
Yeah.
They were just kind of weakness in legs was a lot of it.
Oh, okay.
Because now I've done all those magic squats and my legs are stronger.
I relate.
Makes a difference.
I was starting to get hip pain and doing all the and I was stretching like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend just say, get some bands and do some exercise bands on your hips. Mm-hmm. And then that pain went away. Same thing happened with my shoulder because I do my finale is to escape from shackles. Mm-hmm. And it involved some vicious shoulder movements. Mm-hmm. That it's embarrassing if you see this because it's a very comedic escape. So the idea that I was doing anything vigorous is hilarious. Mm-hmm. So I was embarrassed that I was starting to experience shoulder pain. And I was like, if I can't do my finale, that would be so embarrassing because I'm not, I'm 46 years old.
Well, strength helps everything.
Yeah.
And diet helps everything.
Right.
But also I did another thing. And I've gone through these phases of obsessive self-care
for
before.
Sure.
But this time I added something else. No news.
Okay.
Makes everything better. But I don't shut people up. I go into the theater and I say to Robbie and Jonesy, what's in the news?
This is what I was going to say to you earlier. It's like one thing I'm jealous of, what you get to do both. You get to be a work in entertainment, but you also have water cooler conversations, mm-hmm. which is something that I miss. When I'm being in part of larger organizations, you have water cooler talk.
I have the great, it is absolute, as it's sacrosanct. In the Penn & Teller organization. I go out on the stage, onto the center of the stage, mm-hmm. and I go out exactly the same time every night, and I talk for 18 minutes to Robbie, and then sometimes Jonesy comes in, sometimes Nate comes in,
right.
sometimes Matt, our lighting guy.
Yeah.
But it is only sacrosanct that I talk to Robbie.
Right.
And I'm always given 5 or 6 minutes with just Robbie.
Yeah.
And it's Robbie to insult me. you know, as he often does.
Yep.
But I'll also say, you know, what's in the news? What are you reading? You know, what's going on? And he gives me all the details.
Yeah.
And hearing what's going on from a friend who's not professional. I was listening to LOD every night, and I love LOD. You know, I just adore him. And I loved his reporting.
Yeah.
And I would watch him every night and go to bed anxious.
Yep.
Thinking about, oh, Trump and Jesus. And
well, this, I mean, this, you know, the argument I make to everyone, whether no matter what side of the aisle.
So I think you can get, what I'm saying to people listening, you can get all your news from Penn Sunday School.
An appointment to watch any news on television is an appointment to get angry.
And
no matter what side you are.
I stopped reading the New York Times.
Whoa.
Just stopped.
Oh, there's a lot of alcoholics listening to the show. They'd be very disappointed. They can't.
I just don't read it at all.
So did you?
I also do research when I have a little bit of time. Instead of reading the news, I do a little bit of research on the internet about something I was interested in. Like, how high can squirrels jump?
I did that today with, was Jamie Foxx poisoned? So my brother tried to tell me that Jamie Foxx might have been poisoned by P. Diddy people. And that was a conspiracy theory that's going around. And
what happened to Jamie Foxx?
He had an illness that he could not figure out where it came from. And it took him out of commission for a while and he almost died. But he hasn't disclosed much besides that. Mm-hmm. So the internet has filled in the blanks.
The internet can always do that.
They can.
You know, okay. I was interested in turmeric.
So I found turmeric. No credible evidence, by the way, that P. Diddy was involved in poisoning Jamie Foxx.
That talk with Robbie every night is really important to my mental health.
So did you go through the same arc that many people did, right? A lot of people were falling off the news. And remember, there's reports of news dying. And then Trump saved news by covering him. And everyone got interested in that from all sides when he first started running for president. And then he won. And I talked to some other people where you felt like a guilt for like keeping your eye off of the off of the zeitgeist, like not caring enough about stuff that we better start taking this more seriously because this is a huge mistake. And then burdening yourself by keeping track of the news all the time. And it's draining and it makes you upset and angry all the time. And then for me personally, I went through the same moment where I was talking to this guy, Jobeth Bowers. He's a fan of the show, a big backer of the show, the Judgmentalist. And I were doing shows together. And I brought up some news item and he said, oh, I don't know. He said, unless you guys bring it up on your podcasts, I don't know what's going on.
It's a very good idea.
I was so jealous. As soon as he said it, I literally felt like a longing. I was like, oh.
You know what?
That sounds great.
You know what the strongest thing is?
Yeah.
Lawrence O'Donnell said to me, if I had a different job, I would take in no news whatsoever. He said, when I was in the hospital and not doing my show, when he broke his hip, he said, didn't glance at a newspaper, didn't watch any TV news. When I had to go back on the show, I had a bone up on everything. I knew nothing. He said, I think you are insane to watch my show and follow news. So I finally took his advice, and he made me a promise.
Yeah.
I said to him, if I'm going to be as much out of it as I can, if things change and I should vote for Trump, you'll let me know? He said, yes. Because that's the only thing that...
Right. My vote's not up for grabs.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to vote.
Yeah.
I hate when people get so precious about whether or not they're going to vote.
Yeah.
Just, you know, whatever. Do it or don't. Be a person who does or don't. But don't make it seem like it's we should care about your vote being in the wind on Facebook. Just stop it already.
Well, I've also stopped all social media.
Well, that part, yeah. Anyone I know who gets on Facebook, I periodically ask, do you miss it? And they laugh every time. Everyone laughs. Nobody says, I wish I was back on Facebook.
Oh, geez. Some nights I just want to say, I wish I could write this on Facebook and argue with someone about it. Never.
Here's the part that stinks. So for people who are in my level and lane of trying to be a professional magician, you still need social media very much.
Sure.
And what sucks is it used to be if you lost followers, you'd be like, oh, did I say something or do something to lose numbers? Now you're like, did the CEO of the company that I'm using say something or do something recently that made people drop off the platform completely?
Yeah.
That's more common. So you're like, I wish that we didn't, you know, it's like, it's one of the things that's frustrating where you're like, I'm trying to get, just to get people to buy some tickets to some shows, I got to worry about whether Mark Zuckerberg or Elon Musk or somebody did something in the news to make people drop off the platform completely.
Yeah, I did not want my name associated with Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
X, whatever the fuck
it is. Yeah. No, and I get that. I also saw the responses to your video, and I think you made the right move.
Oh, did people comment?
Yes. I love all time because I host another podcast called Ice Cream Social. In fact, next week, our episode will be from Scoop Fest.
Uh-huh.
And I told my listeners on that platform a while ago, please be nice to me, because when you are mean to me, I'm thin-skinned, I take it seriously, it bothers me all day, and it makes me a shitty father and a shitty husband.
Mm-hmm.
And they listened.
Did they really?
Yes. And so on Ice Cream Social, when you see scoops in the names of the people on X or in the Facebook or whatever, it's like, they're kind people. They're nice people. And they're very respectful about corrections, and then I respectfully read corrections on air. So it's like it works out okay. But
you know, that's all we need, God damn it, is for everybody to do that.
Oh, that's what I mean. This could be still be a very powerful place and a very cool thing to use.
Yeah.
But instead, we got to worry of people being dickheads all the time.
Yeah.
Nitpicky. That's the word that bothers. That's the one that drives me the most. People nitpick dumb, small things and make very large emotional comments about it.
That bothers me less than the big things. You're a talentless fuck.
You see, picking nits. Little nits. Get out of show business. That's one thing to read on Twitter. It's another thing to hear directly from Heidi Klum. But let's not... let's not get into it.
Oh, my. Oh, God almighty. So, you know that I'm fine being on the road. Do you like being on the road?
I do. And I find that you obviously influence me in a lot of ways. One of the things is that I feel no responsibility to accomplish much besides my show.
I feel
like
my job is to do the show.
Yeah.
So I come in refreshed. So the most I'm going to do is a walk. You know?
That's what I do, yeah.
Exercise in the morning.
Yep.
Eat carefully. Maybe do a little bit of writing.
Yeah.
Take a nap before sound check.
Yeah.
I mean, between sound check and show.
Yeah.
Eat carefully. And do your show.
Yeah. By putting pressure, taking all the pressure off myself to accomplish anything else besides doing the good shows while I'm on the road, I like a lot. I miss my children when I'm on longer stretches. But the first 2 days...
Sure don't miss your children the first 2 days.
48 hours.
Yeah.
Whew, sleeping in twice in a row. That's great.
Well, you got to be careful. You're going to start doing cruise ships, right?
Yes.
Don't get really enormous. Don't get fat.
I know. That's the big warning.
Jason Garfield.
Yeah.
Who works cruise ships all the time.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this. Brings all his own food.
Okay. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But I'm, yes, I.
You can get them to steam spinach.
There you go.
But you'll have to tell them four times. Because they'll put butter and oil in it.
I got in better shape during the Fooler's Tour. That was my goal, and that's what I did. I came back lighter and more in shape than before. I would close my exercise rings.
Dodging tomatoes.
10,000 steps.
Uh-huh.
So it was always wake up, whatever town or city I'm in, enter coffee into Yelp, walk to some place that serves coffee.
But you're also on a bus.
I was on a bus.
That does not serve 7 buffets a day.
No matter how much I asked. No matter how many.
On a cruise. It's just buffets all the time.
I know, but there's still a gym and a track on there, right?
Yeah. But I'm just saying, if you decide, oh, I'm a little bit hungry.
Yeah.
And you go to the buffet, they have pig fat and raisins.
I understand that. I'll have to figure it out. You're right. It is the big warning for sure.
Yeah.
That is definitely what could happen to me. I have a fitted suit now that I perform in rather than giant overalls, which made things very flexible. But now I have a fitted suit. So I feel like I at least have to hold myself accountable.
And you okay in airplanes and airports?
Yeah. That part doesn't.
I mean, you like flying?
I'm okay with flying. It's funny you brought this up.
I did, because I'm trying to get to your movie.
Oh yeah. I watched a.
Wasn't
movie.
Accidental.
No. You're a good co-host. Did you this movie came and went already? So I feel it's okay to talk about. Did you ever see a movie called The Iron Claw?
No, is it Nazis?
Okay, it's funny, because there is Nazi thing that factors in this movie, and it's not in the movie. Okay, so it's a story about a real family, the Von Erich family.
Which is, this is the Sound of Music you described.
No.
Is it the Sound of Music?
That's
I am 16 going on. Is it
it's a movie about a family that wrestled.
Ah, oh.
So it's like a big wrestling family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the dad actually had a different last name, but he found out historically that he's related to a family called the Von Erichs. Mm-hmm. And in real life, the father did a heel turn. Do you know that you're familiar with the term in wrestling? To become a bad guy.
Yeah.
He embraced Von Erich and basically in the, I think, 60s and 70s was a Nazi-influenced bad guy
mm-hmm.
for the thing. Okay. That doesn't make the movie.
Huh. What is the subject?
He has a bunch of children and he basically has them all turn to wrestling. So a mm-hmm. bunch of sons, and he makes them all turn to wrestling. And one by one, horrible.
What you're doing with your son.
Of course. Of mm-hmm. course. That's where the money is. And the lifestyle. And one by one, just terrible things keep happening to them. And one by one, there's just awful deaths and suicides and all this other stuff. It is not a cheery movie.
But see, I thought when you were describing it was some sort of action war movie.
No.
It's a documentary?
It's not. It's a drama. But it documents the lives of them. And I think, oh my gosh, they must have played some of this up for drama. And I went online and found out, no, the story is actually so much worse. And they interviewed the guy who wrote the movie because I had to take certain things out to make it less sad. There's a whole brother that also committed suicide. They left out because they're like, we can only have so much suicide in a movie. And I was like, gee, good Lord. But the thing they left out was that apparently a Holocaust survivor went up to the dad while he was still a wrestler mm-hmm. and said, I know what you think you're doing is theater, but I lost all of my family members besides me to the Holocaust. And I hope something like that doesn't happen to you. And that was actually in real life. The curse of the Von Erich family was a real thing that they talked about. The curse of the Von Erichs.
Because of the Holocaust survivors saying
yes.
That.
And they took that out of the movie, I guess, to make sure that the father was somewhat sympathetic. And yet, that kind of drives the whole movie, doesn't it?
What, did you like the movie?
I did. There's very good acting. Zac Efron. Do you know who Zac Efron
is?
Yeah,
I do. How do I know his name?
Well, I bet your children were of the age where he would have been starring in like High School Musical and all those little Disney things. Yeah. Pretty guy. Well, he got ripped, jacked for this movie. And there's a scene where he should be nominated for an Oscar. There's a scene where he's at a wedding and he pretends like he can't dance. And for that, he should get an Oscar. Because if you saw Zac Efron, you know he can dance.
I'm confused.
What do you mean?
If you have the power to curse somebody over the Holocaust, why would you waste it on a wrestler?
Yeah, there are better choices. When I think of the movies that have been turned down, it's
yes.
It's so hard to figure what happens to click people.
Yeah. But at the end, of like the screen goes black and they're like, the Von Erichs were inducted into the WWF Hall of Fame. That's supposed to make me feel like good? Like, great. I'm glad they made that choice with their whole family. There was a silver lining after all. Oh, gosh.
So it's different than The Sound of Music, really.
Although I think equally scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to talk a little bit about
Masterclass?
Yeah. I was trying to find my Masterclass. And you said it once, right?
I did.
And then I said it again, right?
Yeah.
Masterclass. Lifelong learning. You know all this stuff. I think you do. When you become a member of Masterclass, you get all these wonderful lessons.
Yes.
All these wonderful classes from the best teachers you could ever possibly have.
Absolutely.
And they're cinematic. They're shot beautifully.
Yeah.
They look beautiful. They're really clear. You really learn stuff.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, if you're interested in the subject, seriously, you can learn stuff about it.
Yeah.
And if you're not interested in the subject, you can learn a lot too.
Definitely.
What have you been watching?
So I'm finishing up Amy Poehler's. Mm-hmm. I actually had to teach an improv workshop, and so I was very thrilled to have listened to Amy's, and it did a change and affect the way I went about certain lessons.
Did it?
Yes. It made my workshop much smoother. And I had a very effective workshop taught.
Give us an example.
She has a section in there like, don't try to be cool. You know, like improv is just not cool.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be fully committing to characters. But the whole not being cool thing, I started focusing on making people initiate with vulnerability. mm-hmm. and how much that was a lightning rod to mess with them with comedy. And it just made all these scenes launch into great places super fast. Mm-hmm. And so I got that from Amy's class. But for people who aren't into performance improv, one of the greatest benefits of people I know who take classes, and you can get this from taking Amy's, is to-dos when you're feeling uncomfortable. So many mm-hmm. people say like, oh, I'm not social, or I don't like to do this, or I got caught talking to this person and you know. One of the coolest things improv does is gives you to-dos in moments of uncomfortability. Things that get you out of it in an improv scene also get you out of it in real conversations. So I really think it will help you be a better conversationalist.
Give us one of those.
Basically, like, don't be half in, half out, like fully commit. Doing the scene you want to do, that's the one that's really the big one. Basically, like, if you aren't enjoying this conversation, probably the other person isn't either. Right? Yeah. But we all think it's on us, and this person's just, you know, whatever, babbling, whatever. But you can steer the conversation to a place that's more interesting by simply being curious and trying to get to a place that you have sincere interest in that person who you're talking to.
What do you think about squirrels? Right?
Yeah.
That would be a perfect thing.
Not everyone finds them sexually attractive. What do you think about squirrels?
Yeah. And there's what is it? It's over 180 different
instructors. Yeah.
And there's 11 categories.
Yeah.
Reddit is a lot of the cooking ones.
Right.
You can learn a lot of stuff. And the writing ones are astonishing. Neil Gaiman, people like
that. And you can do them just lesson at a time. So it's not you sitting down committing to watching.
And you can
something.
Do them in the car or you can watch them. Any platform has it. Right now, our listeners get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/pen. Get 50% off right now at masterclass.com/pen. masterclass.com/pen. Yeah. I've been wanting to read these two things in my journal, but I've also, you got your mic up there ready, Rich?
I do.
Good. Do you know about Ready Rich breeding spiders?
You told me this off mic a few weeks ago, and I've never looked at Ready the same since.
Yeah, I think that people need to know. I'm not saying Ready Rich breeds with spiders.
Good point. Let's get that at the top.
But when you come to Ready Rich's house,
yeah,
which is where we are right now,
mm-hmm.
the studio,
mm-hmm.
you come in this front door right over here.
Yeah.
And to your right is a spider web.
Mm-hmm.
And to your left is a spider web.
Yes.
We put that up to negligence.
Right.
Bad house care.
Sure. Doesn't hire a landscaper.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not what it is.
Nope.
Ready Rich, why don't you talk to us about why there's a spider web on each side of your door?
Because spiders in the desert are crazy. And if you keep them around, you don't need to hire somebody to keep bugs out of your house.
The natural exterminators is what you're saying.
Now, what breed of spider do you prefer?
Well, there's only two here. One is the tarantula.
Mm-hmm.
That's too much. The other is the black widow.
So you have two black widows at your doorstep.
That
how
is
does,
right.
How does it end up just being two? They're ready. Here's where it gets really fucked up.
So the natural distribution is they'll lay eggs. A couple hundred will be born. Most of them will die immediately. And then 5, 6, 7, 8 will live, and they'll fight each other for territory.
Mm-hmm.
And around a house, that'll spread out to around every 8 to 12 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be only two of them 4 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I compete them early.
How do you compete them? Ready?
You compete spiders?
I do.
Okay.
When they're the appropriate age.
What age is that? It's lower in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yeah. They start getting active about late February, early March.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And about mid-March, I'll start throwing them together so they fight earlier than normally would.
How do you fight them together?
I just pick one up and I throw it in the other's web.
And the winner takes over that web.
Correct.
And you do this until you whittle down 8 to 10 to 2, right?
Correct.
Oh, and man. These are
the two.
I thought the Von Erich family story was sad.
The two baddest motherfuckers, right?
Yes.
Father fuckers, I suppose.
Yeah.
And they each sit on the webs outside to frighten me and Matt. But they do more to other things, right?
They do more to other things. The part that I'm missing out in the story here is that if they go to their natural distribution,
mm-hmm.
they stay too small to capture the big bugs here. And I the see. Big bugs will just barrel through their web and not stop, and they have to rebuild.
Okay.
But if you have two grow big enough early, they'll catch the water bugs.
How big are the water bugs?
About 1.5 to 2 inches.
Mm-hmm. And you don't like them?
Well, I don't want them to nest in the house, and I don't want to pay a guy another $50 a year every year. It goes up every year here.
Right.
To take care of that for me. So I could do this for free with these two specimens.
Is it just water bugs you're worried about?
Well, they capture everything, but those two barrel through the webs.
I see. And two black widows can eat all the insects that would be in your house?
They don't eat them all, but they'll kill them all. So they're yielding more food than they could eat.
Now you say, he said with much trepidation, that because of your breeding, these spiders get bigger than they normally would be?
They do get a little bigger, yes.
How big are they, Reddy?
Leg span or body size?
Both.
Body size, I would say it's a little shy of 1/2 inch.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Leg size, about 1.5 inches. Mm-hmm.
And these are black widows! Is that right?
That is right.
So if they bit you, you would not like it.
It's unpleasant, but I don't have pets or babies, so I'm okay.
Have you been bitten by a black widow?
Not recently.
Ah! When were you bitten by a black widow?
I think the first year that I lived here.
Mm-hmm. Why were you? Is this when you were trying to breed with them?
No, this was at an apartment.
And how did it happen?
I think it happened in my sleep. I don't remember getting bit.
Okay.
But I've been told it's like the worst hornet. Is that right?
I didn't wake up with pain. It came afterwards.
Well, I was on a public radio station with the craziest motherfucker in the world, who's the guy who's written that book about every stinging insect.
Yes.
And what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever meet him?
No.
He's an odd guy.
Yes, I imagine so.
He's been stung by bullet ants.
Oh.
And he can describe to you what it's like.
Oh.
And it's horrible. And I did a little thing with him backstage. He brought out one of the worst stinging insects that you could imagine and showed them in a jar alive, right?
Yeah.
And was kind of handling the whole thing rather cavalierly. And I saw him backstage and said, I'll stick my hand right in that jar. And he said, yeah. I said, because you're doing a gag here, right? Because it's only one sex that stings, and you've got all the other sex in that jar. Is that right? He said, yeah. How'd you know? I said, I'm a magician.
I was going to say, that's a very magician way of thinking about it.
But I find black widows creepy.
Yes.
Do you, Reddy Rich?
Not anymore.
Have you, you've living out some kind of Charlotte's Web kind of fantasy? Do they now, spell things for you? Thank you, Reddy.
Do you name them?
No, I don't think I would name pets if I had them again.
What? You wouldn't name a pet?
I don't think so.
Why is that?
I just don't care.
Okay.
That's why you don't have a pet.
I don't have that kind of attachment.
But you kept cats for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, my spouse had cats and left them with me.
Oh, how generous.
Yeah, Jonesy had that same thing, but Jonesy kind of grew into them in a creepy way.
Yeah, we have two cats that we inherited from my father-in-law before he passed. And
it's not when you're supposed to inherit, by the way, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
You inherit after someone dies.
No, we just ragged him and took the cats. he died, and then we ended up inheriting the cats. But he got them just before he died, so it was two tiny kittens. Well, you asked him what.
Why do you get two tiny kittens right before you die?
He didn't know he was going to die.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. He didn't know.
Because you're not even supposed to buy, you know, unripe bananas.
Bananas. And I laughed because we said, what are they? As I danced on his grave. We said, what are their names? He goes, I don't know. Shmeaky and Shmooky. Like that. And then he died. And then my kids wanted to keep his cats. And I said, all right, well, we can rename them if we want. You know, you each name a cat. And they looked at me like I had said the most horrible thing ever. And they're like, they were Papa's cats. Those cats are Shmeaky and Shmooky.
Which I think would be a really good name for your two spiders. And are you telling me this really works?
This really works. I have not had to have a pest control here for 5 years now. And you don't see bugs, right?
No. I don't.
Here, what are bugs?
And what about scorpions?
Never had scorpions here.
The black widows deter scorpions? Or you just never had scorpions here?
Just never had them here. Yeah. It's very neighborhood by neighborhood, the scorpions in Vegas.
We've had scorpions.
We used to have scorpions, and we have cats, and now we don't have scorpions.
They get stung.
Yeah.
Not the cats.
Yeah, yeah. They get eaten.
I've often thought if you had a few geckos in your house, they would eat everything that came in. Is that true?
I don't know. I've had lizards around my walls, and I still had problems with stuff.
Yeah.
There's somebody on the chat claiming that a black widow consumed a gecko.
Whoa.
At their house. I don't know that I buy that.
Well, now you start your own fight in the chat, buddy. Good luck with that.
I was once with Jamie in Swiss. Mm-hmm. He is a person who cares about animals.
Yeah.
And at one point even had hot stuff, which is the term they use for like venomous snakes and shit, right? Mm-hmm. So he didn't have this horrible thing that I have, of course.
Yeah.
Because I'm a human being.
Right.
And we were in my garage at the Slammer.
Uh-huh.
And he saw a black widow. And I went, ah! Because I'm a human being. And he said, well, we should just move them, but we don't have to kill them because they get here a lot of insects. And he said, we'll get him in a jar. And he went over barehanded and everything and just put the black widow in a jar.
Oh.
Right? And I said, where are we going to put him? And he said, I don't know. Where do you want to put him? And I said, how about David Copperfield's? I need to say this is performance art.
Yes.
Not assault.
Right.
So we got in the car with our black widow in a jar. And we drove over to Copperfield's warehouse, which is fenced in. Yeah. You can't get near the actual warehouse.
Right, right, right.
But on the far side of his property by the fence, we let that black widow go and then became hysterical with mirth. Just laughed our asses off. Does that make me a bad person? No, but it is indication of being a bad person. Yeah. See what I mean? Those it'll are make, different things.
It'll make any story that follows less surprising. If all of a sudden there's a lawsuit or something out of nowhere, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, remember that Black Widow story?
Yeah.
I could see him doing that.
I could see him doing that, yeah. So I often thought that if we saw in the paper afterwards that David Copperfield was bitten by a Black Widow, we'd kind of go, but, you know, I don't know. How far can you move a Black Widow and still have it thrive, ready? I guess that depends on where you move them to.
Yeah, it's all about competition.
Yeah. So you think that he would compete with David Copperfield for the same area?
I don't know that there's a lot of food there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know there's stories about the spider making a spaceship appear and fly over the heads of the other spiders.
I still haven't quite figured out how to tell this where I don't tip the end. So if you see it coming, just let it be.
Okay.
I recently worked on a project that involved a lot of baker's rack shelving that was no longer needed at the end of it.
Uh-huh.
And so I was given that shelving to do with as I please, and I pleased.
Oh, boy!
Oh, baker's rack shelving? You shouldn't have.
Yippee!
Happy birthday to me.
And I have a need for that at my warehouse for holding gear. Mm-hmm. So I took a lot of it, and I didn't have time to go to the warehouse on my way to work, so I dropped it off here. Mm-hmm. And it sat on that wall next to you for a night before I was able to take it in. And when I got up in the morning, there was a single gossamer thread from a piece of shelving to that chair that you're sitting on right now.
Oh, God.
And that shelving came from outside David Copperfield's warehouse.
Payback is a bitch.
We can neither confirm nor deny that it could be the same spider.
Well, it'll be another generation or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Grandpop always told us.
Family oath. the Black Widow Von Erichs back to live out Poppy's wish.
Do you have any other spider material ready?
That's it.
That's it. Okay. Yeah. Oh, did the fabulous organist get in touch with you? Ready, Rich?
I don't think so.
We went to see Jeff Hamilton's organ trio over at Vic's.
Oh, yeah.
Which was fabulous.
What a great spot.
Fabulous. And Vic's is just the greatest. Anytime you're wondering, what should I do? Go to Vic's.
Yeah.
Vic's is the jazz club.
It's just off the strip near the Smith Center.
The Smith Center.
But you want to do that other thing in Vegas and just a little more just kind of hip and more less glitzy.
Jeff Hamilton, who is my drummer.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
In the trio with Mike Jones, Jeff Hamilton, and Ben Gillette, which that album is still available and selling very well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And very well reviewed. Anyway, he has another trio, because I guess he's polyamorous.
Uh-huh.
And then another triple. What is it called?
Truple?
Truple. Another truple.
Thruple.
Thruple.
Truple.
Why don't you say what we're saying? Thruple.
Truple.
Duh.
Thruple.
Thruple.
There you go.
Okay. Why won't you say what we're saying? And that's Jeff Hamilton on drums and Graham Dechter on guitar. But it's often also this new guy. We saw it with Larry. Haven't got his name right now. But Graham Dechter is a great guitar player. But this other guitar player, I might have liked a little better. And then there's Akiko Tsuruga.
Akiko?
I don't know who that is.
Akiko. You know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, she plays a Hammond B3. Her first record is called So Cute, So Bad. And that gets you all excited. And then she says, I won't do her accent. I almost did.
Ooh.
It was going to be horrible.
Yeah.
She says, it's about my cat. He's so cute, but so bad. He punches things off the shelf. And you say, oh, we thought it was something else. Akiko. But Akiko was not playing a Hammond B3, which is what she plays. She was playing an off-brand organ, which is all they got for her. And she said, I need a Hammond B3. And I said, well, my friend Reddy Rich has them. And she said, okay, I'll give him a call. And Jonesy gave her all your information. And she never called?
Nope.
So that's not much of a story, is it?
Well, it implies that she Googled Reddy Rich.
And she said, is this the guy who breeds black widows?
This is the thing. I was, in order to be a woman in the music industry, I was taught to calculate risk and reward differently than the average person.
So cute, so bad. I got to tell you, Vic's, I've been to the Blue Note.
Yeah.
I've been to the Green Mill. I've been to, clubs in Japan.
Yeah.
I've been to a lot of jazz clubs. I got to tell you, it may be the most comfortable jazz club.
They really put a lot of thought into it.
It's really good. And the sound is fabulous.
Yes.
And I wasn't going to go. And Jonesy said, Jeff Hamilton's trio is playing with Akiko. And I love Akiko's playing because I love jazz organ. I really do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really, really do. I love that sting. It's just really nice.
Yeah.
And, I was watching.
They got good food there. There's a restaurant there.
Yeah.
They got really good food.
And you expect it to
there.
Be shitty food, but no. It's really good food. I didn't eat anything because I'm eating carefully. But
you're right.
Everybody else ate. They seem to be really
I was saying it for the listeners. I knew that you didn't eat anything.
Yeah.
Jonesy. I wanted the listeners to know it's a full experience.
It really is. And comfortable.
Yes.
Really comfortable. You're not cramped. It's not low ceilings. The sound is fabulous. And Jonesy called and said, Jeff Hamilton's playing tonight. Don't forget. He told me before, and I just forgot. And I was like, I don't know. It's a Wednesday night. I've been working. I'm going to stay home and sit in the hot tub and read,
Yeah.
And then I said to Mox, Jeff Hamilton, the drummer you loved with my trio, he's playing at Vic's tonight. Want to go? And he said, yeah. Now, he never says yes to anything. Mox never says yes to anything. He's always,
right.
I don't think so. So I went, oh. And then I said to Emily, Mox wants to go with me to see. She went, oh, I'm going too. So Jonesy's guests.
Mm-hmm.
He picked up the tab. And we went and Emily and Moxie had very good meals. And I had a really nice bottle of Pellegrino with all the lime I wanted.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And
the limes there are amazing, they say.
Yeah, they're really good limes. And, boy, they sounded good. It was a really, really, really good experience. I want to see if I can find the guitar player's name, because I'm feeling awful about
you should,
that.
You should.
I should feel awful.
At least we're stalling well.
Yeah. What's happening?
Do you want to talk about B3s again, Matt?
I do.
Yeah, we're talking about B3s. Here it is. Here, I got the name right here.
Flaws, right?
I got the name right here. Steve Kowalczyk. Mm-hmm. Steve Kowalczyk. And I wanted to say his name because Steve Kowalczyk was great. You know, really clean. You know, that kind of guitar player.
Now that you say his name, he is caught in the spider web outside Reddy's house. I definitely saw Steve Kowalczyk out there.
Once you hear when a guitar, you know, not the dirty rock guitar.
Right.
But that sound you get in jazz guitar where they're playing like 32nd notes and everyone is clear and distinct and rings the right amount and still had that jagged bebop feel. I just loved his guitar playing.
Oh, man. Well, they play that pretty often, yeah?
Yeah, but you can just always go to find out what's playing at Vic's. You know, it's called Vic's because Vic was the big cowboy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
The big neon, famous neon cowboy.
The neon cowboy there. It's really comfortable. It's really good. It's right on...
it's right next to the Smith Center.
Yeah, but it's on...
Vegas, Vic, and River Rick.
Yeah. On Robin Leach Boulevard.
That's right, Robin Leach.
Right on a lot, right on Robin Leach Boulevard. And Jeff Hamilton, if you've never seen Jeff Hamilton play drums, you have to.
Yeah.
It's really good. And you can find Akiko and Jeff, Akiko Surga.
Just spell it.
Yeah. T-S-U-R-U-G-A. And Jeff Hamilton, there's a video on YouTube from Dizzy's. Yeah. Of them playing. And it'll kill you dead, then go see them live. It's really good. What dates you got coming up?
I'm going to be at Improv Cincinnati May 17th and 18th. On the 17th, I'm doing an improv show.
Uh-huh.
On the 18th, I'm doing my magic show. And then I go out to a place called Burkus that Godot has played. Burkus Brewing out there in Ludlow, Kentucky on Sunday night.
And now, are you also teaching improv classes?
I am. I'll be teaching improv classes at Improv Cincinnati. So if you want to take an improv class while you're out there, I had some listeners come take my last one, which was pretty neat. I'll be teaching that Sunday day. I'll be teaching an improv class for Improv Cincinnati, and all that's on their website.
And how long before you give an improv class to an improv show, give a magic class to a magic show?
I think I'm very far away from teaching a magic class. At the most, I think I can teach comedic writing. I think, like, maybe, you know, I had a situation locally happen where I was in a lineup and they had people go on before me and they didn't do well.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd was really turned on the night's entertainment. And I went up. And I turned the crowd around and then finished super strong. And then everybody was like very grateful for me being at the show. And that came from lessons I've learned from doing comedy since I was 15 years old.
Well, you can sure write jokes. You know, we do that bit, Balloon Coincidence in the show. And you gave me a button for that.
Yeah, yeah.
That works every night.
Oh, good.
When I say the odds are.
Yes.
132,600 to one that this will work. Do you think it's going to work?
Yeah.
And every night the person says, yes. And I say, and that's why Vegas works. And I thought I was going to have to elaborate and explain it.
Yeah.
Big laugh and we're out.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
And then next week I'm putting in a Matt Donnelly Hondro bit.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got a lot of new bits going to the Penn & Teller show. If you saw the show 2 months ago.
Right.
It's at least 80% new.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
And more bits going in next week.
Yeah.
Because soon we're going in with the Battle of Dreams, which is a Hondro trick.
Yeah.
And then also Kazoo Blues.
It doesn't come without its stresses, but it's interesting. You know, Fools used to ask for 14 episodes. Now they're asking for 20.
Mm-hmm.
And last year when that happened, it was really a kind of all hands on deck feel mm-hmm. at the rehearsal. This year, you guys seem to be totally taking it in stride.
we've just been writing
your whole
like
crew
crazy.
Is just like, yep. Yeah. We're just going to knock out 20 openers.
20 bits, yeah. Most magicians do 25 bits
or
in
closers,
their lives.
I mean, yeah.
In their lives. They do 25 bits in their lives.
I'm inventing like a bit per 2 years.
Yeah.
So like, it's nuts to watch you guys
We
work.
Do 20 a year.
Yeah.
And we got some really good ones. And I got to give a little bit of credit. I don't give too much because I want to take the credit myself.
Of course.
But a little bit of credit goes to Brooke Burke.
Yeah.
Because Brooke Burke just said, I'll do anything.
yeah, expressed that she felt like she could do more, that she was gladly do more.
So we're putting her in a zigzag.
Yeah.
Because she said to me, I'm flexible, and I misunderstood her. I thought she meant morally, but she meant physically.
Okay, good.
So we can put her in a magic prop. And I want to do that joke in the intro, and the network's not happy with
yeah.
it.
Did Jonathan volunteer to go in the zigzag?
Jonathan Ross. Jonathan Ross was down for a lot of stuff.
Jonathan Ross would have done it.
Yeah. Immediately him putting on a headdress and doing a dance for the quick change act that was on in season two comes to mind. He had no problem doing any kind of show.
And it was not being able to dance was not as hard as Zac Efron.
No.
Came natural to Jonathan Ross.
But even like last season, when you went and saw the show that you guys were doing before you were gearing up for this season, mm-hmm. there was three or four bits from last season that was in your show. Mm-hmm. That, like, it stayed in. It wasn't, mm-hmm. like, just for Fool Us. So you guys are venting real workers.
Oh, a lot of the stuff stays in. A lot of stuff from last season is in. I mean, Jelly Beans is forever.
Right.
Espanol is forever.
Yep.
Those are from that
Haystack.
Season. Haystack is forever.
Yeah.
And Gift Shop.
Gift Shop was
trash.
Last year, too. Yeah.
So, I mean, that some of them are just for TV.
Yeah.
But we're probably doing like 8 bits that are going to be in the live show.
That's
so we like them.
That's insane.
And so we're having fun doing that, putting in new stuff. And as Piff would say, all killer, no filler. We're doing a bit with Piff.
Yep.
And we're doing a bit with Mac.
Yeah.
Doing a bit with Moxie.
Yep.
And doing a bit with Hondro.
That's
the first time
there's
been a team up.
Yes.
Penn and Teller and Hondro.
Yeah.
And it's called Palm Springs. And I think it's pretty good because it made me laugh so much when Hondro said, I've never been to Palm Springs.
I don't know. The airport. I don't know.
I don't know. It was very.
Hondro's film is in the Seattle Film Fest.
Yes. Seattle, Cleveland.
Yeah.
And Wyoming.
Yeah.
Are his three American. It's called Cava.
Yeah.
Cava. Means to dig.
Yes.
Means command, dig.
Yeah.
Cava. And it's a 10-minute short, and it's really, you've seen it.
I've seen it. It's very good.
It's really, really good. And I think Hondro is going to be a director.
There's no doubt about it.
No. And he's going to Florence next week to take a cinematography course from a great American cinematographer.
Oh, wow.
In Florence, Italy. But the whole class is in English.
All right.
Taught by an American. But, he's from Spain.
Yeah.
So he has no respect for Italians. It's very, very hard to get Hondro to respect anybody outside Valencia.
Yeah.
He is a little bit cool about Madrid, but he's okay with it.
I sent him a photo of the Spanish rice, microwavable rice that I got from Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
Let him know that you've had a good influence on me, Hondro. I'm now eating better rice.
Uh-huh.
He told me to throw it right in the garbage.
Did he really?
Yes.
Which is what Jason Garfield would have told you to.
Well, I'm sure.
Was it microwavable Spanish rice?
Yeah, it warms up. The truth is, it's my kids eat it. Get them to eat any kind of rice, it's a win. So they like the Spanish.
Arroz.
They like the Spanish arroz.
Arroz. Good. We're on a show. You might not hear this before then. We're on The Talk. The Talk tomorrow morning.
Okay.
We're getting up. We're doing Gift Shop Trash on there.
Nice.
And I've been getting up really early. I've been getting up like 7.
Where is this talk show filmed?
L.A.
Oh, okay. It's just a lot of stuff to get out there.
I think we're doing a pretty, what's the guy's name? Jerry?
O'Connell.
We're doing it with Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
And we're going to say, this is the whole gag. We don't have the whole gag, but it's already been broadcast. But let me hear this.
Yeah.
We're going to say to Jerry, or it might be another host, but it might be Jerry. We're going to say to Jerry, get out your credit card, which I think is where it gets funny.
This bit was in the balance. Your enthusiasm for this bit was in the balance in the early parts of the rehearsal process.
Mm-hmm.
The thought of actually charging the person's actual credit card is what made you laugh. And put the production into fast forward.
Only reason it's in.
It was in the show like 72 hours later, once you realize you're going to actually charge.
Once we said we're going to borrow a credit card from somebody and actually put a charge on it, I was in.
And it would have been 48 hours later. It took a whole day to train Teller on your actual program for training Teller.
Teller's abilities in retail are limited.
It was Laura sitting there with access to your actual corporate account watching the charges come through as we train teller.
Yeah.
to get people to buy things from your gift shop. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. One of the many things teller's not good at.
Yeah. That was very funny.
But it's a good bit.
It's a great bit. Good. I can't wait to see it.
Good to do it on TV.
Yeah.
And we're bringing them, Jerry, as we do now. A couple of Black Widows. Big fat ones. Say, this will save you $50 a year, sir.
So you save money by having us on your show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because now you've got Black Widows.
Yeah.
Have you thought about setting up Ready Rich's all-natural pest control in Vegas?
I have not.
Just turning your garage into a giant Black Widow breeding area?
Saying, you're not going to have any trouble with water bugs anymore. Look what I brought you.
I suppose you didn't want to know there's two on the back door, too.
Of course you had to know that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Why the doors, though? Do water bugs come in the door?
Yeah.
What?
The little creases. That's where the crease is, I guess. They can get underneath the door creases, maybe. That's my first guess.
They don't wait for the door to open, right?
No.
Okay.
They're like vampires. They have to be invited in.
They ring the bell.
Now, as the Black Widows get bigger, do the water bugs get bigger, too?
No.
Okay.
No one's breeding them. There's not a Ready Rich of water bugs in the neighborhood across the street.
In her garage.
I'm breeding bigger water bugs to break through Ready Rich's Black Widows. We're getting very close to the woman who swallowed a fly. Okay, well, we should tell you that this show is brought to you by Masterclass.
That's right.
Lifelong learning. And you can go to masterclass.com and get 15% off. Can you believe that? 15% off an annual membership. You get all the classes for that same price. Just go to masterclass.com/pen. 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 And that was Penn Sunday School. I was interviewed by this wonderful woman in Atlantic City who I just dug so much. Her father was also a great interviewer. And her question, one of her questions, is what are the lyrics to Penn Sunday School and where did that song come from?
Ah.
It thrilled me to pieces. You know we love you. Hey, Matt, you want me to thank? Oh, I didn't say cha-cha-cha and you become naked. Those are important. Can anybody to thank?
I do. Write to questionpen@gmail.com for the answers to the lyrics. You'll be very happy with the answer you get. I want to thank Josh Ciro, Ben, Dick, Ding Nickman, Harry the Grillagician, Don Dottie, Kevin Burke, David McLaughlin, Old Bear Greg, Charlie Sheets says trans rights, No Shit Sherlock, and Por Favor Van and Puerto Rico, Steve Bryce Girdle, if two mind readers are reading each other's minds, whose mind are they reading? Good question. Coach Rat Bastard, is a duck's ass watertight? I believe so. David, I want to finger your cunt Brenner, Tristan Connett, Mason Gooch, Sagebrush, Matthew Mishu, Jason Andrew Davidson, Peter B. Clark, Matt Williams, Soapy Fresh, Brad Sherlag, Steve Feldman, Jonathan P., NewRuleFX.com, Krista Hatchby Luke McKinney, David Insert Meta Joke Here Ruse, Little Mandar, MDM, The 50 Character Shit Is Just On Mobile, Fuck them fucking fuckers. David, Adam Stickney, Sax Guy Jimmy D, Nathan Julian, Jeremy in Shanghai, Chris Harris, Petty Officer Scoop, Daniel, do you know about the magician tractor? Went down the lane and turned into a field. William Wangreen, David K, Blue Drinks Film says, tell the TCFE story again. Brandon Knapp, Nick Dingman, wait a minute. Colin Durham, Susie Felber, Lancey Menshew, Harlan Liam Clark, and Michelle Yeiser. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I should resolve, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Ah, there it is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.